It's fourth down in the Motor City.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave.
Rah, rah, rah!
Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lion victory.
Go Lions!
Hosted by Zach Clark.
So things are going to be just a little different today. But, I mean, not really, but kind of. I want to use this show to stretch what a sports podcast is and what a sports podcast isn't. Not in any extreme way. The focus here will always be on the Detroit Lions, but sometimes it might not be in the way you might expect. I mean, take our first two guests, for example. We talked league-wide stuff with Mike Yam from the NFL Network, and we got down to business on the Lions with Tony Ortiz, Detroit radio legend. And there will be dozens more interviews just like that. But what about celebrity fans? Or what about people that incorporate the Lions into their work? People that when we think about them, we think about the Lions too. Or when we think about the Lions, sometimes we think about them. Either way. So today we're going to talk with Garrett Fuller. And Garrett is half of the Wayne County Life duo that brought Dip Cup, Cody, Uncle Terry, and Traylon to literally millions of people across the world. While amassing over a million followers, they've also done skits with people like Fred Durst and Dax Shepard, to name a few. Garrett, it's always great to talk to you, man. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Zach? How are you, man?
I am great. It's always good to chat with you, man. It's always a ton of fun. And I know you've told the story a million times, but can you just remind the folks how this all started for you and for cameraman Mike? Because your success has been pretty pronounced over the last couple of years, but you've been doing this for a lot longer than people realize, I think.
Yeah, now it's really crazy. So we started like way back in 2016, we posted our first video. And back then it feels like social media was a whole different landscape. You know, it was like some people were putting out videos and stuff like that. But I was doing improv here in town in Detroit here and just needed a creative outlet. So Mike was a student of mine. I was teaching improv and stuff and just became really fast friends. And then afterward, you know, just kept being friends after class and was like, can you help me with this, man? Like, and he was just game. So went out there in the fall of 2015, which is going to be 10 years now this year, which is, I can't even wrap my head around that, Zach. And then did some videos in there in the fall. It was the day after Trouble with the Snap, actually.
Oh, no
it
was
way. The Sunday after that. So my emotions were running high that day. And yeah, started filming and stuff like that. I don't know why didn't we post them right away. I have no idea. I don't remember. We can't remember. Probably just all getting it together. And then posted in early 2016 in like February, I believe. And then from there, just kind of build and build. We were doing one character named Cody and it kind of had a narrative. And then I was like, you know, I kind of have more characters, you know, kind of based in and around Wayne County life that I could probably do some satire on and stuff like that. And Mike was like, let's go, bro. Keep going. So we just kept going and it's built and built and built now to where like we have like over a million followers across all these platforms now.
I think one of my favorite things about you guys is watching you in public interact with people, like whether it's at the Dream Cruise or Autorama or at the Beer Festival or even at a Tigers game or a Lions game. How would you describe the relationship you do have?
I find it to be very welcoming and loving. I think because I'm from here and I live here and I'm kind of doing satire on our very local community here, I'm welcomed with open arms wherever I go, especially if I'm in character. I've been ran into where I'm in full Uncle Terry gear. I always equate it to like it's an adult seeing Santa Claus and believing in it. That's what it feels like. Like, I feel like I created Uncle Terry and now he's like our age's Santa. Like when you see him, people are like, oh, my badass uncle is here right now. Because, you know, the thing is that he thinks he's everybody's uncle. You know, he's that guy. He's like your dad's buddy. It's just been like the most incredible, welcoming, awesome experiences. I have not had one negative experience ever. I don't know. I can't even fathom why that would even happen. I don't know. It's always been really awesome stuff. So I'm pumped.
Do you think because part of it is like so often these days, and I'm all for it, comedy can be really abrasive and like in your face, and your stuff is relatively harmless, even though it's picking up on stereotypes. It's not necessarily like overtly negative stereotypes or offensive stereotypes.
100%. I think like, you know, my comedy has always stayed in that kind of like silly-ish you know, I'm doing satire on real life people, but I feel like the topics I'm always in are the least controversial topics. You know, I'm always yelling about the wind. Who knows? I don't know. It's always really silly stuff. And you're right. It's harmless. I think I've always tried to keep it there where I want my comedy to make you feel good. You know, I don't want you to come away challenging you and stuff like that. That's not the context in which I deliver this. I'm for a quick minute and a half fun, maybe more if you love me.
I remember the first skit I saw you do, and we were at, I can't remember the name of the park. Uncle Terry had buried some money in the park, and it was kind of swampy where it was, and so he was having a hard time figuring out how to get it. And it's like, who on earth does it defend the bank robbers that lost their money? Like, who would it offend?
Exactly, you know, like it goes into a silliness level that like everyone now is just watching to be like, what's happening? You know, like, what are you doing? Shout out Garden City Park, you know?
That was what it was.
It gets swampy there sometimes when it rains.
You told me a long time ago that these characters, they're not based off real people. There is no Uncle Terry, right? But we all have an Uncle Terry, or we know somebody that does. And I think that's so interesting, where it's like an amalgamation of all the people you've met in your life into like not the lowest common denominator, but the like most relatable common denominator.
Yeah, that's exactly, man, you put it in amazing words there. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to go for, is just relate it to you, you know? So I'm always trying to find like every little thing about him has something that we all know. Those guys, we all grew up with them, you know? There, maybe you didn't have an uncle like him, but your dad's like him, or your dad's buddies like him, or your baseball coach was like him, or everyone has something about Uncle Terry that they're like, when you do this, it's like my blah, blah, blah that used to do that. And I'm like, okay, so it's like triggering sentimental value somehow when I play Uncle Terry. Yeah, I think it's the shirts. I think those old guys, all of our dads wore those elastic waistband polos for a couple years, and it's just stuck in my head.
To me, it's that. And also, he has very festive hats, like his Michigan hat. Like, I don't even know where you got that. It's fantastic. It's like, it looks like the hat the Michigan mascot used to wear back in the day, the little like Wolverine cap.
And when we were growing up, I would go to one of those games, or you would see footage of them in the audience or whatever, and those old guys would always be wearing those. And I'm like, that hat is so floppy and stupid and weird. What is it? What is it? And then I just finally, I was like, no, he would wear one of those. That's what he would, because they, I don't know. Then someone told me, I saw in a comment, I think it's called like a tan. T-A-N?
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know. And I was like, is that the name for it? Are those what those? I thought it was called a beanie. I don't know.
I don't even know what it's called. I know we've talked a lot about Uncle Terry, but I think with Traylon and Cody and Dip Cup too, we all have run across these people. Like for me, I mean, obviously Traylon works at Rocket Mortgage. I mean, there's no question about it, right? I mean, that's where he works. Or the only place he could work would be United Wholesale, which is the exact same thing.
100%. He's just one of those guys that's like always bragging about, yeah, I had to put in 90. I put in 90 hours this week. And it's like, we feel sad for you, dude. That's not good. Like, absolutely. He's one of those guys that's always there and just always trying to be at LCA, just balling, you know, always knows the newest bars and stuff like that. For sure. For sure. Loves Birmingham.
The Lions have been a big part of your success. And, you know, before we get to the present, you know, that Matt Stafford video and the evolution of Dip Cup and his relationship with Matt Stafford, or not, right? Because, I mean, I guess the whole thing was he liked him, but not as much as you thought he did, or he didn't want you to think he liked him as much as he was, like, hiding this crush almost. And then it went from that to my favorite trope is game day at Dip's mom's house when you're outside in the backyard. And so can you kind of walk through how the Lions interwove themselves, or you wove them into part of this?
Yeah, sometimes people now like will run into me and they'll be like, you're the Lions guy. And I'm like, I am? You know, like, whoa, I haven't been that yet. So like, I love that. And then it just came from like, we were, you know, I'm doing Dip Cup and we're living his day-to-day life. I'm doing all these things and stuff like that. And then it just becomes, well, he would love the Lions, right? And it's like, yeah, he would love the Lions. And so it was like, but would he, we had to think about like, what type of Lions fan would he be? And those guys I usually run into, they watch the Lions because they just want to party and hang out with their buddies and stuff. But do they really know the Lions? Not really, you know, but Dip's a diehard. So he's just like, whatever, dude, you just go for your team. And so like, he's a psycho for it. And we always say that Duncan behind the camera, who's played by Mike, my co-creator of Wayne County Life. We always say that Duncan's the true fanatic of the Lions. And like, he's feeding Dip Cup all of the rage and whatever information he needs all the time to keep Dip fueled, you know, like, so he's just like, yeah, I heard Tesla's pretty good in practice. And Dip's like, what? He is? And he's like, oh yeah, one hand catches, he's dominating. And just Dunk just pours gasoline on his fire, you know? So Mike behind the scenes is actually a huge, huge Lions fan. So it's awesome because his brain's like a Lions computer. He knows every single thing happening and always has.
You never see Duncan, but I feel like Duncan Stanko is like almost the conscience of all of them, or the balance of all of them. If Uncle Terry is everybody that you know, Duncan is you, right?
Yeah, Duncan is like the voice of the audience. And we always say, like you said, he's the conscience. He's the rational person in it, but we always say he's not rational about one thing, the Lions. Right. Duncan, like everyone else in this town, we throw it all out the window for the Lions and go, no. When they were bad, we were like, they have a chance. The year the Super Bowl was here, we were all like, well, it's here this year. They're going to do it. We're nuts. We're crazy for thinking these things.
And the closest we got was a guy from Detroit was the running back on the team that won.
And we latched onto it real hard. Dip Cup, he was there and he did the same thing. He's like, baddest forever, dude. Boss, love him. He just got the best night of his life that night.
I've seen you at, you know, pick a sporting event here in the Detroit area. What was it like going to Los Angeles? You guys went out there when the Lions played the Rams a couple of years ago. It was before the Lions really, really blew up, but Stafford was there. You were there. The Lions were there. What was that like?
It was just wild. I've never been to a road game. And so to go and then just be Dip Cup in there and stuff. And that was kind of when we really started to feel like people were stopping us and stuff like that all the time. And it was like, whoa, the videos are really catching on with the Lions fans. You know, I was walking through there as Dip Cup and people were like, yeah, he's here and stuff like that. So, yeah, to be there and to feel that energy, that felt like right when we were all about to take off, it started to feel like, okay, this might actually be something. I think we might be growing, ascending, basically.
That's when you worked in another angle, too, right? Was that when Dip Cup finally understands who Dak Shepherd is? Was that the same trip? Or was it a different trip?
Yeah. We did this video where Dip Cup was confused on who Dak Shepherd was because his fiance kept bringing up Dak Shepherd and just how she was listening to his podcast all the time. But she wasn't saying it was his podcast. She was just like, you know, Dak Shepherd said blah, blah, blah. And Dip was finally like, who the hell is this Dak Shepherd guy? Like, who are you hanging out with? You know, so like he's trying to call out Dak Shepherd in this video. Like, I need to talk to you, dude. Stop talking to my girl. And so then he saw it, loved it. We hit him up and we're like, we're going to be out there. Do you think maybe there's time to do a video? And he's like, dude, stop over. So went over there before the game, you know, which was wild. That's just wild this morning ever to go over there and then go over to SoFi for the first time. It was just, we ripped the city apart that weekend. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and I don't say this like making fun of you. It's like you were like a real famous person.
It felt like that for the first time. Yeah, it was just like, wow, this is, I'm really getting noticed, you know, like it was so fun. It was just like, wow, okay, it's working. So, and I love it. I want that to be a side thing that when football season starts every Sunday, you can count on us before the game. You know, a lot of people have said like, it's like their ritual before they turn on the Lions. It's like their buddies will sit together when they're hanging out, be like, let's see what Dip said first. And then I'm like, that's just awesome. It's exactly what I want.
People often talk about how the Lions and the city are similar, right? There's been ups, there's been downs, but everybody's always been together the whole time. I wonder how that fits into like your narrative, because the Lions are so much a part of just who we are. Even if you're not a sports fan, there's a correlation there.
I feel like they're just woven so deep inside of our like fiber. I recently, like, they make construction gear with like NFL products on them now. So like, I swear to you, they gave me a high-vis shirt with Lions on it. And I'm like, someone's seeing me, man. Like, this for Dip Cup. It's so woven into the fabric of our culture now. I feel like sports used to just be like, you know, there was separate bubbles for everything. And somehow football is just like, everybody goes to a football thing now. It's wild. I don't know. It's awesome.
Don't move. More of Fourth Down in the Motor City is right around the corner. And now, Fourth Down in the Motor City. I need to take a quick detour because it popped into my head. Who would be most excited about the Red Wings retiring Fedorov's jersey?
Dude, I just commented on it. To me, Treylin is a huge Red Wings guy. All right, I'm going to explain it.
Yes.
Back in the day, in like the 90s, Red Wings tickets in my head were the first expensive, like outrageous ticket in town that I had heard, like, people are paying $400 for a ticket. This is 1997. Yeah. $400 could buy you a shit ton of things.
Get a car.
So like, to me, Treylin was always like, his dad was rich, so they went to all the games, you know, like. And so I commented on Channel 7 this morning. They were like, he's retiring. And I posted a picture of the Nike skates. And I go, I'm wearing these to the ceremony, my guy. Treylin had Nike skates. You know he did. Those were bonkers expensive, bro. You had that swoosh on them and Sergei skating around in them? Dog. I remember just everybody wanting those.
So, of course, Treylin would have them.
Oh, Treylin was like the only guy who had them, you know, and would just dangle them in Duncan's face. Yeah, so to me, like, Treylin seems to be Red Wings. Terry is like pro wrestling Michigan. Cody is just street fights. I don't know.
Bum fights.
Exactly. And then Dip is, you know, Lions and stuff like that. So I try and cover them all. And I think Treylin would be Pistons. Cody would be Pistons too, but he would only be like, I like Sheed. Okay, Code. Well, he retired.
And you've sussed it out. Treylin is the Michigan State guy too, right?
For sure. I've been trying to get on that wagon for sure. You know, I would even play Treylin where he just bandwagons it. He's like, I like both, my guy. I partied at both. Who cares? He's just above it. He's like, I don't give a crap. Or I'm like, why don't I just get him to where he's like a Western or Central diehard? Because when he went there, he just was like Ferris Bueller up there. He was just Van Wilder. So I thought maybe that would be funny if he just was like an Albion diehard, because he's like, Albion's sick, dude.
could you imagine like taking him to an Albion game?
Back over here, this happened. Oh, dude, I used to live over here. Like, he just knows everybody. I think that would be so fun to do something like that. But yes, I need a state like presence too, because I want them to be represented.
Do you think the Lions being good helps? You know, I did sports talk radio for a long time. And being good is the preference, but a close second is terrible, because that's also fun to talk about. Not for the fan, but for the guy doing the work. And so I wonder for you, I mean, the Lions being good certainly has to help, but I wonder how much you think it helps.
That's a great question, because we've talked about this, like, where we've got to play the character where Dip is getting his butt kicked, like, as a Lions fan, you know? And so we started these. There was no hope in sight when we started these. And so we were down, and playing that way was like with the hopeless optimism and you're just getting your ass beat. It was hilarious every week because you're the lovable losers who just keep going, you know. But then I got to ride this wave every season where I'm like, it's happening. And so getting good, it's like been good both ways. It really had me and Mike talk about this all the time. And then when Dan Campbell was hired, I was just like, wow, I'm really believing in miracles now. This guy is what Dip Cup would describe for what he wants as a coach. And we would all go, that's not a real guy. The NFL would never hire a guy like that. And then this dude showed up and he's awesome. He's like, Dip would be like, no, I want a coach who's like big and strong and used to play. And he freaking listens to freaking metal music out on the field. He's nuts with the guys, hugs them, loves them, and cries with them, does down ups with them, dude. And guess why? Because we freaking win, dude. You would be like, that's not a real guy. But that is now. And it's just incredible. It's incredible that he's around. I love it.
Dan Campbell is obviously so relatable, and we in Detroit love that. But I wonder, too, something that makes Detroiters welcoming an outsider, the only thing, I think, the most thing, is if you come from outside and you buy in right away. And I think a lot of the young guys have done that, right? St. Brown or Gibbs or JMO or whatever. I think that is so much fun because, I mean, Dan Campbell's great, but watching these young guys show up to a place that everybody else seems to talk shit about and then be like, no, bro, this place is awesome and we're not leaving.
It's crazy that we have the culture that guys want to be in, because, boy, man, were we raised watching a football team with a culture that we were like, guys were actively publicly saying, I'd like to leave. I need to get out of here. They would run in the middle of the night. We saw it. They used to fax in and go, I don't want to be here. And that was sad for all of us. And now, yeah, I see like these like number one recruits that aren't even in the pros yet. They're like, you know, like the young kids, yeah. You know, like the young college players and stuff. They're like, oh, dude, Lions are hard. I want to play for the Lions. They wear the blue uniforms and stuff. And I'm like, what the hell? We're the cool team? Yeah. I just can't believe it. And they're like the guys who want to work. You know, yeah. We don't have a culture of just like, yeah, the Lions are fun to be around now. No, they're like, we win. That's the best part. These guys are winners.
God, that is the best part. So I have to ask, like, the evolution from 2016, how did the training camp visit happen? Because you didn't show up there with a ticket. I know you didn't. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, no, we were lucky enough to get invited by Meijer. So Meijer, you know, is like the big official sponsor of the Lions now. Like, we've been doing some sponsorship with them and stuff. And they were like, hey, come on into training camp. And we were like, okay, you know, and so got the lanyards, all that going. And I had never been to training camp. And so that was just a blast to be in there. But honestly, Zach, like going there, going to a training camp, I really recommend it, because when you see them in person, you can really feel if your team is going to be something or not. It's weird. It's like, I don't even have to compare it to another pro team. I'm just watching them going, these guys are so fast. They're going at it so hard. There's no way other teams are going at it like this. And then Hutch, on the day we were there, he was just eating. I was like, whoa. And then you saw probably reports coming out day after day that he was doing this. And I was like, I was there for one of those days. I saw him. He was just spinning off guys. Just, we know what Hutch moves like in our heads. We've seen him on TV. And then when I saw him in person, I was like, this dude's leveled up. He just like looked more, I don't even know. I was like, whoa, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things about training camp that's so much fun is, for the most part, because of the way the NFL stadiums are set up and how wide the sidelines are, you're never going to get that close, ever. And at training camp, you can be on the wall, right? And so you can feel, you can hear. I mean, the sound of the ball hitting the receiver's hands, how loud that is, like, that has to hurt. And so just those little details, I think, are just, I love it. I'm with you.
It was crazy. Yeah, like, you know, on TV, we're all just like, yeah, I mean, like, he's throwing it fast, but I'm sure if I'm coming across the middle, it's just going to hit me in the hands and I'm going to catch it. And then when you're in person, I'm like, I need to see that ball be thrown. Really, like, the guy seeing him in person where I was like, whoa, was J-Mo.
Yeah.
Where I was like, this man is massive. Like, he is a massive, tall, lanky person. And then when he's, you know, certain guys, they move different. They fly different. And he's just, he was going, man. And I was just like, wow, this, I could see this guy being very, very hard to stop this year.
There's so much talk about the Lions changing coordinators, certainly, and they have a brutal schedule. There's no question. Hutchinson is back as far as we can see. I think you get improvement out of Arnold. What do you expect this season?
I don't expect 15 wins. You know, I don't even necessarily, this sounds weird, I don't know if I want 15 wins again. That got to a point where I was like, is this what the season's about? Is this what we're going to try and do? We're going to be the team that flames out after 15 wins and go in here and be exhausted and wheels falling off, you know? So I do think we're going to the Super Bowl. I will say that. I think we're on the trajectory of like, been this close, would have been this, like, even closer had no one got hurt this year. And then this year, I'm like, I know there's new coordinators and stuff like that, but from camp, it seems like everybody's like, these guys are great. There hasn't been a weird adjustment. Those coordinators don't seem like they're bad dudes. I don't know. They didn't rub me the wrong way in any interview I heard them in, you know, and I'm always looking for, like, I'll be honest, man, when Ben Johnson was here, I'm like, I'm glad you're on my team because I don't like the way you talk. And then when he left, I was like, one more word, bud. I can't wait for that week. I can't wait to talk about you, Ben.
Week two, just, short wait.
Yeah, I can't wait, bro. He's got a big old mouth on him, man. And I'm like, I don't like the way I'm glad he was a good coordinator, but I'm like, I wonder if you're going to be a good coach. That's different. I wonder if these guys are going to respond to you the way, I don't know. So we'll see. Every time I hear a team like that, I'm like, they're, it's a circus. They're not ready to play real football yet.
And we lived in the circus. We know what that's like.
We do. So, yeah, this year, I think it's going to be gritty. I think it's going to be really hard. But if we can stay healthy, I think we're going to the Super Bowl. To win it, I don't even know. I think the Ravens are going to be really good. I think the Eagles are going to be really good. That's going to be just a dogfight. I think it's going to be really hard this year. But, yeah, I think we're going to go farther this year.
Looking in the future, on a different note, before I let you out of here, I mean, where do you guys go from here? I love asking you this question because every time I do, I get to look back. It's like the little marks on the wall and I get to see what happened in between. How do you guys keep growing? I mean, I know so much of it for you is like, it's not about widening. It's about deepening the characters. We've talked about that, even though you have added a character. But how do you guys want to keep, you know, going forward?
Now, I guess it's so hard to say where it's going to go. You know, I don't know. It's there's days where I'm like, I'm going to write a live show and tour it. And then there's days where I'm like, I'm going to write a pilot and shop it around, see if I can get something made, or I'm going to make it myself and stuff like that. So I guess we're still in just like the levels of just like keep growing it as we are and stuff like that. Keep trying to see if I can get it farther, more reach and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a good question where it's going to go. I always feel like I had a path and now the path is split into three or four different ways here. And then I'm kind of like, is the universe telling me that this is the show, you know, like, and you're just going to grow it this way and this will be a staple of like, maybe Wayne County Life will just be treated as like it is a TV show when we were in the 90s. I don't even know.
We don't consume media the same way we used to. So the things that you would have wanted to be as a child still exist, but they're not as powerful. And there are other things now too.
Exactly. It's so strange. And that's something I wish we could go back in time and tell ourselves. If I could tell my 13-year-old self, like, hey, you're going to get to be a comedian and people know who you are. And I'm like, cool, am I on Saturday Night Live? And you're like, no, but it's like that. And you're like, what is it? And it's like, well, I don't know. It's like, how would I explain it? You know, so it's like your dream does come true, but it's never in the way, never exactly how you think it is. So I don't know.
I think part of that is you being open and willing, right, to be different or do different things or find success and not have it be like, I'm not succeeding unless I'm on SNL.
I feel like, too, like if I just kind of keep it open, the characters get to live and breathe in different ways, you know, like in different mediums and stuff like that. So it's like if I take them and I just go to YouTube and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to make a TV show on YouTube or whatever. It's like, okay, cool. But I don't know. Then can you go to the Tigers games all the time? It's like the social media aspect allows me to have complete freedom. I don't know where it's going to go. It's hard. I thought I had a vision for it. Now I'm like, man, I have no idea where it's going. And I think I'm just going to let the waves take me. So I don't know.
Garrett Fuller is half of the Wayne County Life duo, over a million followers across all platforms, millions and millions of views across as well. It's always great to talk to you, Garrett. Thank you so much, man.
You're the man, buddy. Thanks.
Big thanks again to Garrett Fuller from Wayne County Life for taking the time to chat with me. And shout out to Mike. He deserves all that love behind the camera and as Duncan Stanko. And that's why I am so fortunate to have done the jobs in Detroit that I have and do the job that I continue to do. Watching he and Mike grow Wayne County Life, it is just so much fun. I squealed when I saw them at Lions training camp. Like a schoolgirl or a schoolboy or whomever. I was squealing. Make sure you're following Fourth Down in the Motor City wherever you get your podcasts, including the free Odyssey app, of course. If you haven't done so yet, please rate us and leave us a review. That kind of stuff is super helpful. We'll come back a little more sports-centric tomorrow. One of my old roommates is joining the program. And you're saying, Zach, why on earth would you do that? Because Zach Rosenblatt, who I went to school with, now covers the New York Jets, the New York Times, and The Athletic. We're going to talk about Sauce Gardner. We're going to talk about Aaron Glenn. I'm going to ask him about his dog, Maggie, and how she's doing because she's awesome. Shout out one time to the producer. You know it is me. Hello. Remember, it's Fourth Down in the Motor City, and we're going for it every single time. Back in your feed Wednesday.